A Tale of Two Pandemics. From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. The U.S. and Europe both experienced the same pandemic, and both have recovered strongly, but they got here in very different ways, with different approaches for keeping their citizens employed and for containing inflation. And it's looking like Europe's strategy may have worked better in a few ways. This is according to a recent Brookings report. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman has more.
When businesses shut down early in the pandemic, millions of workers in the U.S. were laid off and then had to find new jobs once the recovery started. But in Europe, many workers kept their jobs and their paychecks, says John Maria Malesi Ferretti at the Brookings Institution.
You work 20 hours a week, and the firm pays you 40, and the government steps in to pay the extra 20 hours.
In the U.S., the government sent billions of dollars directly to consumers in unemployment and stimulus checks, which fueled a spending boom, one factor clogging supply chains and driving prices higher. Jacob Kierkegaard at the Peterson Institute for International Economics says in Europe,
inflation is rising, but at levels half or thereabouts what we have seen in the United States. And there is no serious wage inflation in Europe.
That's partly because fewer Europeans have dropped out of the workforce. In the U.S., millions of workers who lost or left jobs still haven't returned. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
A cybersecurity threat that's emerged in the last few days is being called everything from critical to severe to possibly the worst vulnerability in the history of modern computing. Companies are scrambling to patch up their networks while cybercriminals are already exploiting the flaw, according to U.S. officials. Marketplace's Nova Sappho has the details.
The vulnerability is in a piece of software that a typical user has probably never heard of called Log4j. It's a tool that's widely used in cloud servers and enterprise systems at private companies and government institutions alike. Cybersecurity experts say the vulnerability is easily exploited and was first discovered in a version of Microsoft's Minecraft game. All a hacker had to do to access a computer was send a piece of code via Minecraft's chat function. Others that were reported to be vulnerable included Apple, Amazon, and Twitter. There is a patch released, but the U.S. Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency says hackers are already exploiting the bug. Later today, the agency plans to hold a call with those guarding the nation's critical infrastructure to discuss the threat. I'm Nova Sappho for Marketplace.
All right, let's do the numbers. The FTSE in London is down less than a tenth of a percent, but Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are all up in the 2 to 4 tenths percent range, with the Dow future up 76 points. The 10-year Treasury yield is at 1.477%. And by the way, companies in the S&P 500 have been busy buying back their own shares this past quarter. They bought $234.5 billion worth of their own shares. That's a record, according to S&P Dow Jones indices. Why do companies do this? Well, it's one way to reward shareholders by pumping up the price of stocks. But the practice also gets a lot of criticism. Congressional Democrats argue companies should use that money to invest in their businesses, and they've proposed a tax on buybacks.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.
The U.S. Department of Agriculture announced last week it would offer $400 million to state and tribal governments to help buy more local foods, in particular from underserved producers. This is, the USDA says, a way to smooth snags in the supply chain that have put more Americans in need of food assistance. Marketplace's Savannah Marr reports.
Recent spikes in the price of meat and fresh produce start on farms and ranches, where producers are seeing higher input costs and struggling to hire workers. Then come processing bottlenecks and the challenges of shipping food across the country or the world.
So we need changes at all levels of the food supply chain.
Miguel Gomez with Cornell's Dyson School of Applied Economics says those changes won't come quickly. But in the meantime,
I am convinced that this is a huge opportunity to develop local and regional food systems.
He says the USDA's investment could be a good step towards bolstering those systems.
It's a way to decentralize or to localize the food system so that we do not depend on only one or two origins for our food.
The program will give state and tribal governments funds to buy locally grown food for nutritional assistance programs, like school cafeterias and food banks. Aaron Pulling heads up Food Bank of the Rockies, which operates in northern Colorado and across Wyoming. She says feeding those communities has become three times as expensive since the start of the pandemic.
It's really been the perfect storm with supply chain challenges, cost increases in food, and increase in need.
Pulling says the organization buys as much local produce, meat, and dairy as it can, but faces cost limitations. She welcomes the potential federal help.
We're thinking about people in need and food banks' ability to meet that need, but we're also thinking about our local agricultural partners.
The USDA says historically underserved producers will be prioritized under the new program. Rudy Arredondo is with the National Latino Farmers and Ranchers Trade Association. He says the small producers his organization represents have been hit disproportionately hard by the pandemic and its economic impacts.
Certainly our community suffered quite a bit because we have always been at the tail end of receiving any kind of benefits. We appreciate the fact that we finally have been included in that.
Arredondo says the program will provide an immediate financial boost, but longer-term rural infrastructure investments are needed to keep local food systems viable. I'm Savannah Marr for Marketplace.
And in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.